morning. How are y'all doing? It's so good to see you. Would y'all please stand and join me in a word of prayer as we begin? Dear Lord, we love you and we praise you, and we come humbly before you and just seeking your face. I pray that you would give us open hearts and open minds, that we would receive the message and the songs, and that we would just allow them to fill us with your spirit, Lord, and just to guide us and lead us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Our first song is going to be hymn 343. No, it's not. Our first song is hymn 56, To God Be the Glory. Got ahead of myself.
Of our 10:30 traditional worship. Ken is gone. He is leading the Alabama Baptist Children's Home Honor Choir. I think they are actually at First Baptist Church Tuscaloosa today. And so he'll be home today, this afternoon, but thankful for Carson Brown filling in while Ken is gone and leading that choir. So glad for him to do that. If you're a guest today, we're glad you're here. Glad a part of our worship this morning. Take a few moments, walk around, welcome your friends. Glad to have you today. Good to be here.
Thank you.
Next hymn is hymn number 583, You Are My All in All.
Seeking you as a precious.
offertory hymn is hymn number 572, Blessed Assurance.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with thankful hearts, just thanking you for the outpouring of blessings you've given to each and every one of us. And we just come this morning asking your blessings on our country as we struggle right now, going through changing times. And we come this morning to you just thanking you for what you've done for each and every one of us. And as we come to this part of the service, when we can give back just a small portion of what you've so graciously given to all of us, we pray that these tithes and offerings will be used in the furtherance of your kingdom. These things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you.
Jaron. So I want to share a song with y'all that we do in our college ministry at the church I've been going to in Birmingham. It's called Crowns Down, and it's a song about laying your earthly crowns at the feet of Jesus. So I hope y'all enjoy this song. My Savior King, your loving kindness has welcomed me. Though I'm unworthy of majesty, you wrap the lowly in royalty, and I will lay my crowns down.
Thank you, Carson Brown. That song is the perfect, Carson, perfect song for our text for today as we think about stewardship. Crowns down, laying things at the feet of the Father. So, perfect song. Thank you so much, Carson, for leading us while Ken is Ken is out. So our text for today is Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. We spent 6 months walking through verse by verse the book of Philippians. We finished that last Sunday. We finished at the beginning where Paul says, I am a slave to Christ Jesus. And so then the rest of the letter that Paul writes to the church at Philippi is based on that phrase. Everything that Paul does, everything that Paul says, all that Paul gives the church at Philippi is based on that first foundational phrase, I am a slave to Christ Jesus. Well, when we start talking about stewardship, then that's what stewardship is. Being the manager of all the resources that God has given to us, being a steward, that's what that is. It's about being a slave to Christ Jesus. And so we'll see that today as we talk about stewardship. So next Sunday, we're going to talk about stewardship, financial learning experience that we've got next Sunday from 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock. Anyone that would like some help when it comes to how biblically can I be a better steward of all that God has given to me? What the resources that God has showered down on me, how can I be a better steward, manager of God's graciousness and God's gifts? And so the Long Range Planning Committee, we started working several months ago or a year ago about thinking about what's the vision God given this church? What is our next step as a church family, and how do we get there? And so a lot of praying, a lot of faith, a lot of steps of faith, and we've been talking with an architectural firm. The architectural firm then encouraged us to use a financial stewardship company to help us when it comes to that point, and we've got to start raising some funds. And so we were led to Enjoy Services. But one of the things that Enjoy offered the church family had nothing to do with raising money, but just we would like to help anybody in your church family that needs help. Because when it comes to money, there's anxiety and there's issues. So how can we help your church family, or not just your church family, but anybody that you would want, anybody in the community, to come in and we can help biblically help them understand what it means to be a steward of that which God has given to us. And so they'll talk about budgeting and investments and retiring and all kind of things. After that, then we have people like Roy Bryant and Brian Harrell and others in our church family, Vince Glasgow, that can help lead some discipleship courses and going even deeper how I can be the steward that God has called me to be. So the goal is that if we would walk away from that next Sunday afternoon, walking away from that conference with just a better understanding about what it means to be a steward, what it means biblically to be that which God has called us to be. When we talk or preach and spend 2 Sundays talking about stewardship, it's a touchy, touchy subject. Always has been. Always will be. Yesterday I was with some friends. The wife of one of these friends said, hey, what are you preaching on tomorrow? I said, well, I just finished a 6-month series on Philippians. So tomorrow and next Sunday, we're going to spend some time talking about stewardship. And her response was, oh, no. Oh, no. Are you sure? Are you sure about that? About that? Oh, no. Talking about money in the church. Can't do that. It's a touchy subject. So I've been doing this now for 36 years. I'm 36 years this May. And what I have noticed in 36 years is that churches, for the most part, make 2 big mistakes when it comes to stewardship, when it comes to talking about and dealing with the issue of money. One mistake is that we just simply don't talk about it at all. It's touchy. It's sensitive. And so the idea is that so many churches have abused this thing called finances and stewardship that the idea from many churches is just don't talk about it at all. The best thing to do is just not ever talk about money. It's just too personal. So don't deal with it. Bury your head in the sand and act like that it doesn't exist. And that's a huge mistake. The other mistake and the other side of that is to never shut up about it. The church, just like any organization, becomes obsessed with money. And every week, then, money becomes the subject matter. You can't get out of there without having the preacher or somebody talk about money over and over and over and over again. My parents have passed on to be with Jesus. So most of my friends that I grew up with have lost their parents. Well, over the past 10, 15 years, we've seen a lot of each other at our parents' funerals and visitations. So I'm at one of these funerals with my friends, and it's one of my closest friends' mother that had passed away, and we're all there, and we're all, you know, talking. And my closest friend that I grew up with and I, we found ourselves outside in the parking lot talking, just about stuff. And out of nowhere, he looked at me and he said, "Joel, how often do you preach on money?" I said, "Well, why do you want to know?" He said, "Well, I just want to know, how often do you preach on money?" I thought what he was asking was, do we have a time every year, a certain Sunday or two Sundays, where we talk about pledging and we talk about budgeting and we talk about if you don't give more money, then we're going to have to shut the doors, all that kind of stuff, you know. Talking about, you know, do we have, and I'm like, we don't do that. We don't have a time of year. We just kind of feel however the Lord leads us. And let me insert, for example, next Sunday afternoon, financial learning experience. So an opportunity for us as a church family to deal with stewardship for two Sundays. So when the Lord leads us there, we don't hide and shy away from it. And yet at the same time, we don't spend every Sunday dealing with it. And I said, why? He said, well, you know, my wife, you married us. I remember that. And he said, before we ever got married, we started going to this church. We got married, we kept going to that church. That church has been our church home. We don't know any other church. We've raised our children in this church. And we've loved our church home. We've loved our church family. We love and have loved our pastors. We've had several pastors and we've loved them. We love the pastor that we have now. I mean, as a friend, I love him to death. But we can't take another Sunday. Joel, every single Sunday, it doesn't matter. He might as well not even choose a passage of Scripture or a verse of Scripture because it's irrelevant. Because at some point, it's going to always get back to money. It's always about money. It's always about money. If we have a good Sunday bringing in money, then the next week we're encouraged. If we have a bad Sunday bringing in money, then the next week we're raked over the coals. But one thing is certain, and that is that every single Sunday without fail, a couple of years ago, he got on this kick and he's now obsessed with money, and he won't talk about anything else. So we made the very difficult decision of feeling like we got to go somewhere else where the gospel is preached. It's something other than money. So sure enough, he said, we decided and we went. There's all kind of great churches in the Gadsden area, and we went to this church. And we had heard a lot about it. We have good friends that go there. We go in, we sit down, they start worshiping. And sure enough, the preacher gets up, and I mean, he spends 45 minutes raking those poor people over the coals because they ain't giving enough money. And he said, we just looked at each other. Are they all like this? And he looked at me and he said, Joel, are y'all all like this? I said, no, we're not all like this. At First Baptist Church, we try really, really, really hard to find ourselves with a strong biblical position when it comes to stewardship. On the one hand, it is foolish, and that's exactly what it is. On one hand, it is foolish to hide from the fact that God, through His Word, from Genesis to Revelation, deals with the issue of money and how to be a good steward, manager of that which He has blessed us with. So if the pastor decides we're not going to talk about it at all, that's foolish. That is heresy to just act like it doesn't exist. On the other hand, We don't want to become so obsessed with money that that's all we talk about. So we will always try to keep our eyes on the prize, and that is the gospel. I gave this picture, word picture, in the early worship. So what I want you to picture is however you want to picture the word of God in your mind, Genesis to Revelation. In that word of God, we know, because we've been studying this on Wednesday night, there's one God. One God. There are not many gods. We do not worship the best of the gods. There is only one God, and He is three in person, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There are not many ways to this one God. One God. And one way to Him, Jesus. The gospel, the good news. And God then has revealed Himself to us in His holy word from Genesis to Revelation. So we have the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and God's holy word and how He's revealed Himself to us. And then over that word of God is a big umbrella called the gospel, because the gospel is everything. From Genesis to Revelation, we have the gospel. Everything points in the Old Covenant, in the New Covenant. It all points to what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. Now, in Genesis to Revelation, we've got all kinds of subjects. We've got evangelism. We've got discipleship. We've got missions. We've got fellowship. We've got marriage. We've got all kinds of subject matters that we deal with under the umbrella of the gospel. And one of the subjects that we deal with is this thing called stewardship. The gospel deals with money and stewardship and how we can be the best manager stewards that God has called us to be. You know your church staff. Those of you that are guests with us, Ken Patterson, Paul Murphy, Micah Gilmore, Warren and Heather Jones, you know this church staff. I make you this promise. And I think Ken's gone, Paul's home not feeling well, Warren's up there serving soup, Micah is up there with them, so Karen's the only one left. But I can make you a promise, and I think Karen would back me up. Never one time, ever have we ever sat in staff meeting and try to figure out how in the world can we rip more money out of these people's pockets. Not ever one time. Never. The long-range planning committee that is working tirelessly, y'all, they work hard trying to help us as a church family, along with the staff, figure out what's the vision God's giving to us. Lyndall Glasgow is the chair of that committee. The deacons, the trustees, Roy Bryant, Kevin Hawk, Richard Mobies, trustees. Please know that all of these staff members and all of these lay people working together, we have no desire whatsoever to try to guilt or coerce or strong arm anybody out of anything. We want you to know what it means to be a good steward of that which God has given to you. So, on one hand, we need to make sure that we also understand that let's just make sure that we say this as plain and as simple as we know how to say it. We have to raise money. Let's don't bury our heads in the sand and just act like, oh, that doesn't exist. Oh, no. These lights have got to come on. We send money all over the world to missionaries to continue to carry the gospel to a world that is desperate in need. We've got children's ministry. We've got youth ministry. We've got senior adult ministry. We've got all of these different ministries. We've got the youth are going to Belize this summer on a summer mission trip. They're up there right now going to try to get money out of you to help them go to the trip this summer. So we've got to raise money in order for this to exist. So let's not bury our heads under the sand. On the other hand, we don't want to drive you insane about it either. We want to find a happy medium middle ground. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Is our text for today, is our parable when we start thinking about stewardship. Randy Alcorn is one of my favorites when it comes to stewardship. And here's what he says. All your life, you've been on a treasure hunt. You've been searching for a perfect person and a perfect place. Jesus is that perfect person. Heaven is that place. So if you're a Christian, you've already met the person and you're already headed to that place, but there's a problem. You're not yet living in that with that person, and you're not yet living in that place. So there's a treasure, a hidden treasure in life. And when that treasure is discovered, it brings life-changing joy. So let's look at the parable real quickly. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, Jesus tells this short parable about a treasure hidden in a field. The treasure is not really about financial gain. It's about something totally different. It's called the kingdom of heaven, the gospel. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. The man then got really excited. He hid the treasure again and he sold everything that he owned, to get enough money to buy the treasure that he found. Now, there are hundreds of great points about this parable. I'm only going to focus today, because of our time, on one thing. The phrase, in his joy. That is the gospel. In his joy, the man found the greatest treasure on earth. What is the greatest treasure on earth? It is called the gospel, the good news, the gift that God has given to us in Christ Jesus. I've heard that it has been said that 15% of everything that Jesus says is about money or possessions. And I don't know how accurate that is, but I do know this, that the number one subject matter that Jesus deals with when it comes to the gospels is money and possessions. And so the question is, why? Why did Jesus put such an emphasis on money and possessions? He did so because there is a fundamental connection between our spiritual lives and how we then think about money. We can try our best to divorce faith and money, but God doesn't. It's who we are in Christ Jesus. So in his joy, the man was not exchanging lesser treasures for greater treasures out of drudgery, but he was doing it out of joy. So, oh my, I found this, and when I'm going to sell everything I have, and I'm going to live the rest of my life miserable. No, it's the exact opposite. He's doing this out of joy. The point is that Jesus is making is appealing to what we value. Do we value temporary treasure, the things that will last only in this world? Or do we value eternal treasure, things of heaven? Jesus tells us to be very, very, very careful when we store up treasures here on earth. Why? Because they're bad? No. God has blessed us with these earthly treasures that he's given to us. Clothes on our back, vehicles to drive, houses to live in. So these are all blessings that God has given to us. So he's not doing that because these treasures are bad. No, but he realizes that these treasures won't last. Treat those treasures for what they are. Things of this earth. Let me read this illustration from Alcorn's book. Imagine that you are alive at the end of the Civil War. You're living in the South, but you're a Northerner. You plan to move home as soon as the war is over. While you're in the South, you have accumulated lots of Confederate currency. Now, suppose that you know for a fact that the North is going to win the war and that the end is imminent. What will you do with your Confederate money? Well, if you're smart, there's really only one answer. You should immediately cash in your Confederate currency for United States currency, the only money that will have value when the war is over. Keep enough Confederate currency to meet your short-term needs. As a Christian, you have inside knowledge of an eventual worldwide upheaval caused by Christ's return. This is the ultimate insider trading tip. Earth's currency will become worthless when Christ returns or when you die, whichever one comes first, and either event could happen at any moment. That's a great illustration. Alcorn gives six principles when it comes to stewardship. God owns everything. I'm simply His manager. My heart always goes where I put God's money. That is, Jesus said it this way, wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. My heart follows what I treasure. Heaven, not earth, is my home. I should live for eternity, not earth. Giving is the only antidote to materialism. And then God prospers me not to raise my standard of living, but to raise my standard of giving. All your life, you've been on a treasure hunt. You've been searching for the perfect person. And you've been searching for the perfect place. Jesus is that person. Heaven is that place. So if you're a Christian, you've already met the person. You're already headed to that place. But there is a problem. And it is a problem. You're not yet living with that person. And you're not yet living in that place. So until that day comes when we will be living with that person, his name is Jesus, and we will be living in that place, heaven, how can we live today in this world for that person, Jesus, and for that place, heaven? Because to me, that is, if we're going to talk about stewardship, that's the ultimate question of stewardship. The ultimate question of stewardship is, how do I live today in a material world with heaven's eternal values? The gospel, the umbrella, is all that God has done for us in Christ Jesus. We've proclaimed the good news of the gospel every Sunday for as long as I've been able to preach. What has God given to us? Everything. Life everlasting, abundant, and free. You are who you are. You have what you have because of the gifts that God has given to you. And the greatest gift of all, in the midst of all of the gifts that He's given to you, the greatest gift of all is the gift of His Son, the sacrifice of His Son for your sin. Heaven, eternal life, abundant life, freedom from the condemnation of my sin, which I deserve to be condemned. Now, in turn, how do I live for the one who has given everything, called the gospel? How then do I take all of these gifts and then use those for His honor and for His glory as the manager, the steward that He has called me to be? Father, thank You for the gift of life in Jesus, and thank You for the gift of the treasure. In this great parable, the greatest gift of all, the treasure that's hidden in the field, is the good news. And this man gave up everything he had for that treasure because he realized nothing on earth compares to that treasure. May that be us. The treasure, the gospel. Now in turn, Father, how do we live our lives as manager, stewards of that which You've been so generous to give to us? That's the ultimate question of stewardship. If there's anybody that's here today, Father, that does not know You as Savior and Lord, may today be the day of salvation for them. May they realize that the treasure is the gospel and it's Jesus, and that they want Him more than anything else in life. For those of us that know You as Savior and Lord, Father, dig deeper into our hearts and into our minds what it means to be the steward that You've called us to be because of the gospel, the good news. Thank You, Father, for the gift of life that we have in Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen. Our invitation that we're going to sing is, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. If you've never trusted Christ, then we encourage you today to make that decision. If you need to come pray, join our church, whatever the Lord puts on your heart, you just simply follow through with that as we stand, as we sing. Please be seated real quickly, all right? First of all, what do we got? Thank y'all for coming on in. Appreciate that. All right, what do we got first? Financial learning experience. Speaking up next Sunday. If you would like to be a part of the financial learning experience, then it is in your bulletin. Hit that QR code or call Karen or Amy. Register for that. That's next Sunday afternoon from 4 o'clock to 6 p.m. It will be a wonderful time to learn how to be the biblical steward that God's called you to be. So, that's next Sunday, all right? Speaking of, come on up, Caroline.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Caroline.
So, we're as you probably know, we're part of the youth group. And this summer, the youth group is going to be taking 30 students and chaperones to Belize. And we are super excited, but we need to raise a pretty decent amount of money to go. So we've been doing soup lunches, and today we're having a soup lunch in the fellowship hall. So we would love to invite you to come. It's a win-win for everyone. Y'all will donate to our trip, and we'll give you all the soup you want. We have some kid-friendly options, too, if you like those, like PB&Js and grilled cheese. So we would love to have you, and we'll just be up at the fellowship hall after y'all get out. Ready to serve.
You can stay and eat there. You can grab it to go. If you are already got lunch plans but you'd like to donate, then just go up there and donate. So appreciate you doing that for our youth mission trip. All right, great. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. All right, next. All right, so that's where Ken is. Ken is with the Alabama Children's Home Honor Choir. You see several of our church family in that group, the Blockers, the Browns. So Ken has got some of those young people with him doing the Alabama Children's Home Honor Choir. So be in prayer for Ken as they come home today. All right. When Irish eyes are smiling, dinner March the 18th, 5 o'clock p.m. Sign up, senior adults, on the old Lord's Supper table. All right. Is that it? There we go. All right. Let's all stand and close by singing Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine.
Savior all the day long. This is my story.